Today, the Central Bank of Egypt said it would float its local currency in an attempt to eliminate a black market for U.S. dollars. The Egyptian pound fell by almost half. The reason the central bank did this was to get a much-needed $12 billion loan from the International Monetary Fund. Egypt's economy has been a disaster ever since 2011, when former President Hosni Mubarak was overthrown. Joining us now from Cairo is NPR's Jane Araf. And Jane, tell us more about this decision to devalue the currency. What kind of impact is that going to have?
Hopefully, it should make things easier for ordinary Egyptians who have really been struggling trying to buy basic things, and that includes sugar and rice and basic food. The country is in the midst of an economic crisis, so this devaluation was meant to narrow the gap between what the Egyptian currency was trading for in the black market and what the official rate was. That gap was so big that businesses basically didn't want to trade dollars. And it meant that the Egyptian government was having a hard time importing goods. It imports most of the food here, and that's caused a crisis in the market.
I've also read that the IMF has a real incentive to offer this $12 billion loan to Egypt because it doesn't want Egypt to end up like some of the neighboring countries where a lot of refugees are trying to get into Europe. They want to stabilize the Egyptian economy.
They absolutely do. Now, Egypt is the biggest country in terms of population in the Middle East. It's got 80 million people, and 20 million of those are between the ages of 18 and 29. So it is a group of people, a potential workforce that could have a lot of potential, but without jobs and with a terrible economy, more of them are going to do what they've been doing, which is taking to boats and some of them dying to try to reach Europe for a better life. So the U.S. is interested in Egyptian stability because of the economy and also because politically Egypt needs to be stable. It's next to Israel. It signed a peace treaty with Israel. It is one of the traditional power brokers in the Middle East, and it's hugely important to whatever happens in this region, in the Middle East and North Africa. Now, it's been consumed with its own problems ever since the Arab Spring and the revolutions that have followed that, but it is still seen as a very important country and one that everyone is interested in trying to help stabilize.
How politically stable is it now?
If you ask the government, there's absolutely no question there. They have done things like ban protests. We were speaking with some Egyptian officials yesterday, and they said, well, nobody asks to protest. The fact is that if they asked, they would not be allowed to do it. That doesn't mean there isn't discontent here, but what it does mean is the country is, again, under very tight control. So there was that Arab Spring when people took to the streets, starting in Tunisia and then in other countries, and they actually got rid of governments, authoritarian governments, that had been around for decades. That was the case here in Egypt. So that president, Hosni Mubarak, was replaced by another one, democratically elected. But he was basically toppled by the military. And the president now, Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, is actually an army general. So superficially, it is quite stable. Nobody expects another revolution. People don't seem to be in the mood to rise up again. But it does have very serious, crushing problems, a lot of them tied to the economy. And that's worrying a lot of people.
And ever since the overthrow of former President Hosni Mubarak, Egypt has been suffering when it comes to tourism, which is something that got even worse after the passenger plane that was bombed last year, departing from Sharm el-Sheikh, and an Egypt Air flight that crashed into the Mediterranean Sea earlier this year after a fire on board, perhaps scaring away even more tourists. How is tourism doing in Egypt now?
It's not doing very well. I was at the Egyptian Museum just a few days ago. That's the museum with King Tut's tomb in it, all those golden treasures. And normally it would be full of tourists, including Americans and Western Europeans, but it was almost empty. A lot of that is because since the Arab Spring, since revolutions have swept this region, there has been a general concern about security and people aren't coming to the region in general. But Egypt specifically, for some of those reasons that you mentioned, has had a hard time. Tourism is down at least 40% from last year. And it's not just Americans, although I did run into Americans at the Egyptian Museum, a small group of them, and they said they felt perfectly safe here. But that perception persists. So a lot of the tourists who replaced Americans and Europeans are Eastern Europeans and people from countries like China, India, and Japan. And those numbers are down as well.
Not that I'm trying to pile on to the problems that exist in Egypt, but can you tell us about the flooding that's going on with the Nile? Because it sounds like that's a problem as well.
It has been a huge problem for some parts of the country. In four of Egypt's provinces, there were flash floods that led to the deaths of at least 29 people. Now, this is seasonal flooding, and you might remember from your history books that actually the seasonal flooding of the Nile River was what led to the great civilizations, the Egyptian civilization that sprung up along the banks of the Nile, because when it flooded, it left behind silt, which fertilized the soil. So all of that stopped decades ago when they built a huge dam, but the flooding, which is caused by rains, still continues, and the Egyptian government isn't really prepared to deal with it. On top of that, it's created a water problem. Here in Cairo, if you look at the Nile, you'll see it's all brown and muddy from the silt in it. And in many places, it's affected the drinking water, although that's a perennial problem, and a lot of Egyptians don't have clean drinking water in general.
Can you leave us with something uplifting about Egypt today?
Gosh, you know, wherever you are in the Middle East, no matter how bad it gets, I find that what's uplifting is that people actually still go out, they try to make a living, they take care of their families. And because Cairo is a huge cosmopolitan city, sort of like the New York City of the Middle East, it's much more so like that here. Even now when things are grim and people are having a very hard time getting by, there still really is a vibrancy here, because it takes a lot to extinguish hope altogether. When I was out in the market today, in one of these markets where people were waiting for boxes of food, subsidized food from the military, and the military ran out, you could see these people, a lot of them old people, with their hands stretched out, holding crumpled bills that they wanted to try to pay for these boxes of cheap food, going away empty-handed. And when I talked to some of them later and asked them if they thought it would get better, they kind of thought that eventually it would, that it might take a long time, but eventually they were hoping that things would get better. And so the fact that there's still hope here is not a bad thing.
That's NPR's Jane Arraf joining us from Cairo, Egypt. Jane, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeremy.